This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
A chair, a table, a lamp. There's a window with white curtains, and the glass is shatterproof, but it isn't running away, they're afraid of. A handmaid wouldn't get far. It's those other escapes. The ones you can open in yourself, given a cutting edge. Or a twisted sheet and a chandelier. I try not to think about those escapes. It's harder on ceremony days, but thinking can hurt your chances. My name is Offred. I had another name, but it's forbidden now. So many things are forbidden now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's The Film Effect, and we are going to discuss TV, actually, this week. I have a bit of a guilty pleasure. Actually, I do love a lot of television, and if you've heard the opening there, you probably can guess what the topic will be and what the show will be. But I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale since the beginning, and I've had, like, I will say I haven't loved every season that much, but I'm hanging in there because it's just got so much great shit, and it's definitely a good season. Susan is back.
Hi, guys.
Yes!
I'm very excited. I love the show.
Yay!
So good.
When we were talking, I text you about it.
Yeah.
Randomly, I'll be like, dude, that was fucked up. Like,
right.
I'll be like, oh my God, Handmaids.
Right.
Yes. So I'm glad you're watching it too, because now I can do this with you.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is my show, so we're going to take it wherever the heck I want to take it, which is here. So.
Right, let's do it.
So if you are starting this and you haven't even heard of the show or listened to it, watched it, stop right here.
Right. And go watch season one.
Buckle up for a week.
It won't even take you a week.
Watch all four seasons.
That might take a week.
Try not to get depressed.
And or annoyed with June, because she makes all these decisions, these season cliffhangers. Why? Get on the truck.
She's difficult.
She is difficult.
All right. Well, let me. This is great. I love that we're doing this. So if you're with us, and it's based on a book.
Oh, it's the best book.
So you read the book. I didn't read the book.
The first season is like carbon copy of the book.
Oh, okay.
It's so good.
Wow.
And then I read the second book, but I don't remember loving it, so it must not have stuck
with
me.
Let me ask you this. Are there big differences from the book? You said it's carbon copy pretty much
for the first season.
And that first season is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Really well done, bringing it up to date with like a modern take. Because the book was written, how old is the book?
I don't know, a zillion years old.
So it's really updated the way they kind of create this sense of what the world, and kind of very close to home, I felt.
Yeah, I think it's crazy that the book is however old it is. I don't even know. I don't even want
to
guess.
Let me get to my interwebs.
Yes.
Someone. Julie.
Julie.
You're fucking up over there. Whatever.
Come on, why didn't you prep for the episode, Julie? So,
what's wrong with you?
But I love the fact that the book was written 20 years ago, let's just say, until you can verify that fact.
I'm on it.
That it still is so applicable to today.
Yeah.
And that people are going to Canada 20 years ago, and even in the show today, you would be going to Canada to be free. Just kind of crazy.
That's really weird. And what's funny, you're going to laugh right now. This book was published in 85.
That is 20 years ago.
Oh, I thought you were the worst listener ever, even on a podcast. Okay, so
more than 20 years ago, because it's 2020 now.
Why are we this old?
2021,
why am I this old?
Right?
Oh my God,
that is crazy.
I know.
40 years ago, whatever. Someone do math and call in. I don't know.
100 years ago, right. I'm 80 years old. No, but yeah, you're right, and it's really intense. The setup of what happens and how quickly it happens, people just start losing their. Okay, I guess I should try to format this some way. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about just the show itself, and
sure.
Then we'll get right into like this current season and maybe even just the last episode. If you, just see where we go.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things in this show that bring up a lot of topics of, like, you know, identity, having your rights taken away.
And they're, like, so small, right? I mean, the way that June's rights are taken away, the main character, is pretty violent.
It's very violent.
It's pretty violent.
It's like terrorism. It's religion, sort of.
Right. I mean, like, they actually are trying to leave the country. Spoiler alert. So if you're going to watch.
Oh, my God,
so
everyone.
If you haven't paused already, pause now. If you haven't already paused, pause now.
Or listen and then go back and you'll be like, that's not what happened.
Right. Then okay. Call in. Call in and correct us.
Yeah, send a message.
So, you know, her family gets ripped from her. Like, they're trying to escape.
It's so messed up.
And they are staying at some, like, lake house or something, and they're on their way, and everything's shutting down, and they're trying to run, and they run into the woods, and the eyes come, and they rip her daughter away, they rip her away, they rip her husband away, and, like, that's a pretty violent scene.
It's scary, and
it's,
I mean,
it's very upsetting.
Yeah, and then along the way, she's seeing, like, where people have been hung, and, I mean, and what's interesting to me, and I'm just gonna, like, the whole setup of this is over, which I, it's funny, because I watched this. And then I was thinking about other movies that have similar concepts, but more sci-fi. And I was watching Blade Runner, the sequel. I don't know if you've seen Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
Because we've been living in this year where there's been an pandemic. There's been all these issues around climate change. And, like, these are, like, actually things that used to be, like, in sci-fi movies. Like, the Earth will just not grow food. And, like, I'm like, there's, like, crazy things going on that are so familiar to this. Close to this, that the ideas in the story in the beginning kind of scared me, because I was like, wow, what if that happened? Because really the setup is that for whatever reason, women stop being able to procreate.
Right. So the birth rate is decreasing.
Yes.
And it's because of all of these environmental factors. So they do this really great job in the show of when June is being indoctrinated into the whole culture of Gilead and she's becoming the handmaid. She has to watch these slideshow presentations done by the ants, right? And it talks about why or how people's choices of moving away from a moral life, moving away from God, has created this terrible environment. And as a result, they're unable to procreate at the same level or the same, I don't know, whatever the word is. And so then it's turning into this whole thing that it's people's fault. And so the way to save the population is by infusing the population of Gilead with children and with women who are specifically chosen, quote
They're
unquote.
They're like the ones that can still give birth somehow.
Right, which to be a handmaid, right?
Yeah.
And the only reason how you got chosen is if you had a child in your other life before Gilead. That's how you got chosen to be a handmaid.
It's so crazy.
It's...
And they're ripping everyone's children away from them. Because June's story happens kind of like after this has already happened, where she was able to kind of survive for a bit and then escape. And then she gets caught. So everyone else is some, you know, and it's really cool. I will say what I loved about the first season in itself was the way they kind of weaved the story, because they didn't give it to you all at once. So like you start out with her as already a handmaid. In the voice of her, I think like the first scene is a voiceover of her in her bedroom, like talking to the camera, like, or you hear her thoughts, which is like, I don't even remember, but it's so interesting because this is where we are. We're in this very bizarre situation. And then suddenly you're like, oh my God, that's America. Like, where are we? This is like, you think you're in like some fairy tale or some dark
or
dystopian
country.
Yeah. Yep. And it's actually, that's not what it is. And then throughout the season, they take you back. And tell you bits and pieces of how this happened, which was so cool, I thought.
Yeah, it was a really great way to reveal what's happening because, I mean, imagine the trauma of being ripped out of everything that you know. You're trying to lead this new life. You're trying not to get the shit kicked out of you every day. You're trying to manage surviving being raped, right? Like, and so, of course, you're going to go back to how things were. You're going to, of course, go back into your imagination and your mind, remembering what your family was like. And, you know, June goes through this whole thing about mom guilt, and maybe this is why it's happening to her.
Right, right. And all the issues with her, you know, it's interesting about her character, and that's why I'm glad that you said the book, is she's our, like... You know, she's our like heroine or our kind of like protagonist. And she's flawed. She's got issues. Yeah. She's not a saint. She's like basically a cheater. And then she's with this guy. And then they have this life together. But I love that even in that, it's not like she's just this, you know, pristine person mm-hmm. who ends up in this terrible. It's like everyone is, I don't know. I love that about all the women. The characters are very real. They're not, do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think the thing that I really like about June is that she is, like, I can really connect with her, right?
Oh, tell
she's
me.
Like
yes.
totally a typical person.
She's typical.
Right? Mm-hmm. She has this life. She has a kid. She works. She's trying to balance all these things, trying to make her husband happy, trying to make her kid happy, trying to make herself happy, going to work, blah, 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 blah. Right? All these things. And when she gets captured and put into Gilead, like, I mean, she's not like, let's go rage against the machine. Like, she's not like that in the very beginning. It takes her the whole season into mm-hmm. like the second season. And now by the fourth season, she is completely different than
God,
what she was
so
in the
crazy.
Beginning.
Yeah.
Which I also like and would also like to think that if that was me, of course, I would also go through
I think
that
you
same
would.
Transformation.
Like, I know
right?
I don't know you that long, but I feel like you would.
Right. I feel
I
like
would I follow would. You.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You would probably die knowing June's record. You would probably
but you
die.
Know what? I'll take my chances. I feel like you'd bring a good movement. I'd back you. I'd be all the way.
So that I think is yeah. really interesting too. And that idea that it only takes one person to right. start a movement and change is
yes.
really interesting.
Well, and that's bringing me to like Serena, which
I love Serena too.
I fucking love Serena.
She's so fucked in the head.
I know, but I also had a crush on her because she's so like, I don't know. What was it that like green Wizard of Oz situation?
I know, all like that though, right?
It's so crazy. But what's, and this was like, when I talk about the first season and you and I'm saying like they back tell the story is that you mm-hmm. don't really you know that like you said, things happened, right? There's like some issues with like climate change or there's issues mm-hmm. with the planet and there's things that are contributing to this like drop of the birth rate, people not being able to procreate. And then when things like that happen, what does happen, which is so weird to me now because this stuff is happening all the time now, especially during COVID, is that it creates a lot of hysteria and a lot of people trying to control something that they can't. And so, of course, things like politics pop up. And obviously, what you find out is that Serena actually starts a movement mm-hmm. because she writes a book about returning to, like,
that moral life,
that moral God values, and like that is the reason why. It's like looking for answers, so this must be why. And she does actually incite quite a movement of people that is why now this whole place is taken over, and it's Gilead. It's basically her idea.
Yeah, but she gets
it's fucking crazy.
Shafted
I know.
Because it becomes this whole patriarchal society.
God, it's so nuts that like what she wrote about or wanted ends up being like
my
her,
favorite
her
scene,
prison.
I think, from the first, I don't know if it's the first or second season, is when they go to D.C. and so they're with Americans and the American tour guide or whoever, embassy person, gives Serena a printed out list with picture icons because no females can read in Gilead.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
So she's like, here's your itinerary. That's what it's called. Here's your itinerary for the week or the day. And there are picture symbols because women in Gilead aren't supposed to be able to read.
So crazy.
Which when she does read, Serena stands up to the men and she reads a passage from the Bible and her husband has her fucking finger cut off.
There you have it. Careful what you write about, ladies. Well, it's funny because I was talking about this with, I think, Tom. Like he hasn't seen the show, but we were talking about COVID and, you know, it is funny what people were doing during this whole time. It's funny that it's over too. Can I just say that? Like yeah. What in the fuck has happened?
It's like it never even
everybody,
happened.
It's like it never happened. Like everyone's just hanging out, sitting next to each other, going to classes, yoga, like sweating. Like, I don't even know. It's so, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
Sorry, I'm going to
tell you. We were worried about sweat particles touching each other.
I know. And now nobody gives a shit.
It's fine.
But it's just kind of funny. And I'm not even having an opinion. I'm just saying, wow, how weird is that?
Right.
But it was funny too. Cause like, you know, a lot of the symbols of this returning to morals or whatever she came up, whatever this whole Gilead lifestyle has been, you know, created. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things are like this, like baking bread. Everything's like done by hand.
Right.
Everything's like the 1800s. Like,
right.
And I'm thinking like, what did we all do during the pandemic? We bake bread.
Zucchini, banana.
Everybody was like, I want to bake a bread from scratch.
Right.
So it kind of freaked me out a little bit. I was like thinking about the handmaids. I'm like, are we in trouble?
Well, you had so much time. In the
you
pandemic,
time,
think about it.
But
like,
what was it? I think it was like a comfort thing. That like when people get scared or worried, it's like, what can we return to that makes us think of like comfort? safety. But yeah. It's just an illusion.
I agree. And the thing in Gilead, too, is that they had Marthas who were making the bread for them. It's not like Serena was making that bread.
I love that they're called Marthas. Like,
I know.
Where did they...
Well, it's all from the Bible. They have all these biblical references.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's what all that is. So there's all those biblical references throughout the whole thing. Even the rape scenes are
I know. How do they get away with that? Like, that's
There's some
stuff in the Bible about
something in the Bible about it. I can't remember exactly.
About surrogate sex.
Right.
And honestly, just what it really is rape. But I mean, because none of these people are agreeing to this.
Right. And I mean, the whole idea that the wife is holding her down so that the husband can have sex with her.
This is not your usual three-way.
No.
As if I know what that is.
Only one person's having fun. I'm assuming in a three-way, all three people are having fun. But I think in this situation, only one person is having fun.
I don't think that anyone is having fun in this scenario.
Yeah. And you know what else is still so crazy about the show? So many things. Is they still have the Jezebels, that whorehouse that's like in the city that men go to.
But I was wondering if that was secretive. Like,
oh, yeah. It's not. But I think
like the wives don't know.
Well, I think they know that it's something.
But they don't. I'm sure it's not spoken of.
No.
I'm sure, like, to me, that's a symbol of like that the men have really, like, you talk about the patriarchy, like they've taken over, even though I'm sure Serena didn't realize what she was being subservient to with these concepts.
Well, right. Can you imagine if all of the women in green like trooped into like some male whorehouse? Like, that would never happen.
Like your mom at a party after 2 a.m.
Right. That would
What are you doing in here? My mom in her nightgown. Kim, you remember that night? She knows.
Dude, your mom is here again.
No, but you're right. That they didn't do that because they'd get their fingers chopped off or whatever would happen to them.
Right.
Yeah, so I wonder, it's like some of those pieces, and that's why I'm like, you read the book, so maybe they filled in some of this stuff. I was like, how does that even play out? Like,
I think it's just that thing, like, do as I say, right? Not as I do. I'm leading this. But it makes me think, like, is the author saying and the producers, whoever, saying that leading a completely moral life is impossible? Like, is it impossible to be truly moral, or is it impossible to expect men to follow the same rules that they impose on other people?
Is the endless conversation, right?
Right.
Is it? Sorry, men. I'm not trying to.
No.
Guys, if you're here, we don't mean it. But we do.
I mean, it's in
the
show.
Actually, we do.
It's in the show. I'm just referencing the show.
If you could answer, please, write in, send a message. Yeah, I mean, do you think it's a comment on men specifically, or is it just society? Like the setup of society that, like, I mean, this is a whole other topic, but I always think about this one.
I don't know. Maybe it's that it's so restrictive that there is no, but again,
but is that a comment on like marriage and commitment and that like people don't really have the ability to.
It's also the commanders though too, right? So when you think about how Gilead is structured, right? It's like the haves and have nots, right? So you've got the commanders and their wives, and then you have the people that work for them, then you have the people that they rape, and then there's all these people that are
Marthas.
Right. And then there's all those people that like work the farms and in the country, right? Like there's that whole
when
other
you explain
family
it like this,
structure.
It sounds pretty good.
Right? Right.
Well, I'll take a Martha any day.
God, seriously. Can I just have someone make breakfast for me just once? Just once in a while.
I just don't want any kids. I don't care. No more kids for me.
I'm done with that part
I really do not want a child. I'm not that excited about it anymore. I'm done. I did my part.
Right. All right. I love babies. I love to hold them. And then when they start to cry inconsolably, I'm like, here you go. It's yours. Whose child is this? Please come take it.
I'm sorry. I totally interrupted you. I'm so sorry. You had a thought. You had a point. And I think I just diverted you.
No, I think it's just about, maybe it's just a commentary on power. Right? Like when you have too much power, how much can you really get away with? And maybe that's the commentary. I don't know.
It's also what happens when a certain group of people within a structure get more power. Mm-hmm. And there's so much of that goes on because every step of the way, someone has more power than someone else, right? So like even in The Handmaids, there's like the Handmaids have a little more going on than the people in what do they send those people to?
The colonies.
The colonies. That's like the worst.
You do not want to go to the colony.
Colonies is bad. So like there's a hierarchy there too, right? And it's at every piece. There's like, you know, that. I'm hearing like the fan.
Me too. It's okay. I'm working through it.
Should we? Guys, is it soothing or annoying at this point? I could probably turn it off.
Okay.
All right, I'll let you share for a moment.
Oh God, now I'm on the spot. I don't know what to say. Just talk. She's like, just talk. She's in the background. Just talk. Just say anything. Say anything. Doesn't matter. Yeah, the colonies are crazy. I want to say it's like a chemo something or other that's happening because they start to lose like their fingernails and their hair. And there's that one, she can't figure out. She's actually turned the fan up higher, everybody. So the noise is even louder. Just throwing that out there. But yeah. And then there's this, and so the colonies are people, they just, it looks like all they do is just move dirt from one spot to another. I'm sure there's some sort of purpose for them to be out there because, you know, it's Gilead, but I don't really know what it is. And they are just, it's awful. They have a whole different outfit that they have to wear. Every one station is delineated by their outfit that they're wearing. And the colonies are wearing like these drab brown, gross.
And how do you get to be a fucking ant, Lydia? Like, they're the ants,
right? Her
story
is jacked up. Aunt Lydia's story is jacked up.
Yeah, well, that actress is, like, my favorite.
She's great.
Have you seen The Leftovers?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's a great show.
Oh, I didn't know you've seen it.
So
wow.
We
could do
time.
A whole other.
I have to rewatch.
How incredible is The Leftovers?
Oh
my God.
So
everything.
Good.
That's, like, a very on par with this show kind of show.
Yeah, it is.
So weird, right? The white and the smoking and the not speaking and the lighting the things.
Yeah. And the mom goes crazy. Maybe it's really just commentary about moms.
Is it?
I don't know. Mom goes crazy though.
Dude, I love that whole cast.
So good.
So good.
That's a great show.
These are good. We might have to do a Leftovers. If you guys haven't seen The Leftovers.
Watch that. It's on HBO.
It's not something that you eat later. It's just a show about people that get taken off the planet. Another kind of weird.
Yeah. They're the ones that are left behind, right?
Yeah. They're the ones that are left behind. I tried to read the book, but I couldn't. I had the movie in my head, and all the names were different, so it threw me. Sorry about the fan, everyone. I can't understand this space, so just pretend we're in Gilead, and the fans must be on. God said. And the fans must always be on, or you lose your finger. So, or an eye.
Right.
By the way,
Janine.
The torture that they have to endure. So I'll go back a little. The reason that people are so, like, when we meet June, she is quite passive and subservient and like all of the things, but then you see when they backtell that how they got these women to really shut the fuck up and do what they're told, and it is not pretty even from the moment they begin.
No, it's all,
it's like they're cow tagged on the ear, and like every piece of this thing is like horrifying.
Well, and in the fourth season, if you remember, one of the commanders says to Aunt Lydia, these new handmaids have been raised in Gilead. This isn't like the first crop that we brought over. They are subservient. They've already been indoctrinated. Like, they already know what their role is. There is no need to torture them to the same level that you're used to. So here's somebody that's left over from before, Janine, who I love.
God, Janine is so good.
I love her. Go crazy on her, right? Like, if you enjoy torturing people so much, then you go ahead and take it out on her.
It's so messed up.
So messed up. But it is really interesting that they've had that system so long that the newest crop of handmaids just don't question. There is no fighting back because they don't really remember a previous life. This is the only life that they know.
Right. It's how you create a whole fucked up society, I guess. Yeah. If you keep it going long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there, okay, let's get into this a bit. So you said you love June.
Mm-hmm.
You relate to June. In what other ways do you relate to her character?
I liked in the fourth season. Is it okay if we skip to the
fourth
season?
Yeah, let's go all around. Yeah, okay. Let's go where we want.
So I like in the fourth season, that whole thing when she's finally in Canada and they're in the circle. It's like really reminiscent of a 12-step program, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all sharing about how they feel. And she's so angry. And other people are like, well, her best friend Moira is like, you shouldn't be angry. You should just, you know, anger's a tool, but we don't want to live in anger. And June's like, fuck that. I'm living in anger. Like, I'm doing it. Who's with me? And all the other ladies are like, yep, we're in it. And she just kind of takes over the whole scene.
Yeah.
Right. Which is kind of what she does. So this is another revolution that June is. Or June, I'm sorry, another Joan of Arc. Another revolution that June
She's
is
like Joan, yeah.
Yeah, that June is kind of sparking. So I thought that was really interesting because I've been on that side of wanting to live in anger and then also in the side of, okay, you can't live in anger indefinitely because it actually is very destructive. So that's just not going to work.
It's a hard one.
It is a hard one.
And I can't even, I mean, I'm saying on a personal note, like I'm in that space right now where I can get very angry about my situation. But it's, yeah, I don't know. And I guess like that's a real different story too, because these people have endured real trauma.
I think the difference, I think the other thing
I like
too.
Is it about the level of trauma?
But I don't know. Are you supposed, I don't know if I really, I heard this thing one time that, you know, comparing trauma is actually diminishing everyone's experience with trauma.
Really?
Right?
Because there's a lot of talk about this right now.
Right. Like, is trauma with a lowercase t different than trauma with a capital T? Like, who cares? Maybe my lowercase t trauma feels just as crazy and as terrible as your capital T with three exclamation marks after it trauma. Right? Like,
no, you're right. Because whatever yours is yours.
Right. It's your experience.
It's your experience. So that is a very good point.
You know, so like, yes, I'm thankful I wasn't raped for the 5 years that June was gone, right? I'm very thankful about that. But that doesn't mean that the trauma that I've experienced in my life or, you know, any of those other characters have experienced doesn't. What about her husband, Luke, who's been alone for 5 years or 7 years or however long she's been gone, right? And he's been looking for their daughter. And then her, not even his kid shows up and he has to take care of her. Like, he takes care of her because it's June's daughter. Like, that's trauma.
Yeah, everyone.
Lowercase, capital, whatever. That's trauma to mm-hmm. think that he's just going to do it and accept the baby and take care of her and look for June. And like in the whole show, he doesn't stray from that idea of finding June and finding their daughter. Like, that's a pretty amazing
sentiment. You just touched on something that is like actually kind of personal for me. About this, I was just thinking.
How so?
Should I get personal?
Too late. You already opened your mouth.
I did it every day. I do this every time. Yeah, I think that what's interesting, and I'm bringing up just fourth season, guys. Come back. So basically, like June's back. I mean, it's a big, long. It's been a long journey. This woman has made some weird choices.
Right. She had so many opportunities to go back and she just
because of her daughter, which I'm not saying just because of her daughter, but that's a whole other conversation too, because her daughter isn't her daughter anymore.
Oh, I know. That was so sad.
But it's true. I mean, all of these children, the comment on that, and that's a whole other part of the story where these kids get, you know, taken out. They get like kind of like they flee, you know, because of June. She gets these kids out.
Them. Yep.
But then there's struggle back at home because now they're with their families or whoever, and they don't know these people.
It's been years.
Or they don't like when they like want to actually be with their families, mm-hmm. which is the people they've known now for whatever amount of time, which isn't their family.
Their Gilead family, right? They
That's
be
right.
Back
but to them, as you
could
totally understand, it is their family, mm-hmm. right? So there's that. But I guess the piece I'm relating to is that. And I'm just, I don't know, how do I say this without, I'll just say it, I guess. Like, when you're with a person, and I'll just say, like, if I've been in a relationship with someone who is alcoholic, okay? And there's this idea that, like, someone has worse suffering than you. Mm. Do you get where mm-hmm. I'm going with this? And so, like, if there's worse suffering or you're watching a person suffer, but that level seems so big and so more present, or it's more, like, attention-grabbing. So, like, you are quietly suffering. Like, with him, he's got her back. June's mm-hmm. back. And she's obviously, I mean, it's so traumatized. I mean, it's almost like any situation where you would imagine somebody finally comes back after, like, POWs. Like, they've been in the war. They come home, and they're like, And everyone's like, oh, my God, it was so bad. Like, just be careful around him. Like, just don't fuck him up. Don't talk to him. Like, so there's this kind of, like, you have to give space and you have to respect their trauma, their suffering, their pain. And you have to sit quietly with your own now mm-hmm. and be like, I better not say anything about my shit because that obviously is way worse than mine. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah, but is it really way worse?
It's not, but this is why it's interesting because you even watch him dabble, like kind of not dabble, but he's going through that as well, mm-hmm. which is like he's really on eggshells and he's like, I don't know how to handle this because he's got his own pain and his own suffering. And you can tell there's moments where he wants to say that, like, mm-hmm. I had to be here without you. And like, this fucking sucked for me. And, mm-hmm. But it almost is like he can't, because he's like, look at her situation. Mm-hmm. How could I say anything? So there's that, which is also, I think, a really real thing that happens to people, which is, in whatever scenario that is for people, whatever, I'm bringing up my own thing of like feeling like you can't really bring up your part because it's not as big, maybe, or it doesn't feel valid enough. I'm just commenting on your big T, little T kind of thing, and then how that plays out with people, because in the end, it doesn't help, actually, right? For someone to just quiet their part.
Well, right, because I just like that feeling of, like, just thinking about it for myself, that feeling of being selfish, that idea of being selfish, and then also that's wrapped into that idea of being codependent and wondering about, I don't know. It is really confusing. It's hard. It's really, really hard and really confusing to know what's okay to say. And if you say something, is it going to trigger the other person? And then if it does trigger the other person, am I prepared to deal with that triggering event and all the stuff that comes from that triggering event? And a lot of times I don't want to. So then I don't say anything.
Yeah. And I think this is deep, man. This is a deep one. Well, and I think it's your personality too, you know?
Yeah.
Like what's, you know, cause June went from being a quiet, I'm going to do whatever they say. And over years, it took her years to speak up and be like at the point now where she's like, I'm going to fucking kill everybody. Like she's so out, you know, and like maybe it's like the biggest, loudest person. Because even in the group, you know, we watch, I'm going to talk about this last episode. What's her name? It's so horrible what happened to her.
Emily.
So she like, her story's fucked up too.
Her story's terrible.
But she's very quiet about everything. She's like quietly like kind of keeping it together. So Emily's had a really traumatic story too. And
her she's mutilated. Emily gets mutilated.
Literally mutilated, loses her partner, and has to watch her die. They like hang her right in front of her.
Yes, she finds a partner in Gilead. That's right. And she finds a partner. Her partner is a Canadian citizen. So she is able to take her... Emily's wife is able to take their son, and Emily's wife are able to go to Canada because she's a Canadian citizen.
Okay.
Emily is not. And so that's why she gets left behind.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not her partner, is it?
In Gilead, she finds she has another partner, one of her Martha.
Okay.
And her
okay.
have a relationship.
Yes, yes. And then that person gets killed. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
And then they mutilate her.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, which is terrifying. And then, but yeah, but I guess what am I saying? Like, I don't know.
Her trauma, you were saying, is the way
handles it is like very different. So I'm wondering if I'm making more of a personality thing where it's like some people play more of a quiet part about it because that's how they are. They just don't want to make a scene about themselves. And then some people can't help themselves. They just have to like, you know, I'm pissed off. Like they're more open.
But I don't even think June is like, she's not yelling like that at Luke, her husband, right?
No.
She's yelling like she's all in against Gilead and Serena and Fred now that they're in, you know, custody. I almost said captivity. In custody by the government.
Yeah, they're custody, by the way.
Right.
Please.
Right. It's awesome. It's like a five-star
Can
hotel.
Can I go stay there?
It's like
Please.
A freaking five-star hotel.
It's fucking ridiculous.
They got all new clothes, like cashmere. It looks like cashmere pajamas. Serena's wearing like cashmere pajamas.
What is that? Why is that allowed?
I do want to say this, though, too. She... Serena ends up getting pregnant in this fourth season.
Oh, here we go. That's right? Really where it gets interesting for me, too.
Right, because you see in either the first or second season, you learn Serena's backstory, and actually she is at a speaking event, and it gets crashed.
Okay.
And people come, like terrorists come, and domestic terrorists come, and they shoot up the place, and she actually gets shot in the stomach, which then affects her ability to be able to conceive. Okay, so uterus, whatever, all those. I'm not a doctor.
I am
a medical doctor.
You are a doctor,
but
actually.
Not a medical doctor.
Doctor.
Right. So she somehow loses the ability to conceive, right? So that's the other reason why she and Fred have to have a handmaid because she can't have her own.
So
kid.
I guess maybe that's fault. That's not totally true.
Right. But
obviously.
Then, right. So then they're in this space when they are traveling. This is how jacked up Serena is and manipulative as she is. She, on one of her trips with Fred, she meets this American, and he's like, I can help you get out of Gilead. I can help you escape. Mm-hmm. So then in this final season or whatever they are, they're winding around, and she has this whole setup for Fred to get captured so that way she can be free of Gilead. Right? Right.
Yes.
Because the daughter that June had, you guys have to watch the show, the daughter that June had, Serena and Fred are considering theirs because June had the girl, had the daughter, had the baby when she was in Serena's house, right?
Yes.
So they're assuming, they're just assuming, making that assumption that it's their kid. Anyway, so Serena has this whole plan set up. Fred gets captured, right? But on their way for the setup for Fred, she and Fred, her husband, have this like beautiful scene where they like reconnect and they fall in love. And like their lovemaking is really special and intimate, and they're connected. And then she finds out that she's pregnant, which I think is a really interesting commentary on like sometimes that's how it works, right? Like people go through rounds and rounds of IVF and they can't get pregnant. And then something happens and they're able to.
Is it a comment on letting go?
Right.
Stop forcing a solution.
Right. Stop trying to control everything. Right. God's time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you finally give up.
Right.
There you have it.
Right. So now she's pregnant and it's just.
And that is just a great. I mean, whoever's writing the show, I will say there. I will admit, like, I think, I don't know if it was last season. There's been some issues for me on some of the storylines, but that was a smart.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you did it. That was a really smart move. I don't know if that was coming all along, but that just added a layer to this show that is like really interesting.
Well, that and then in the fourth season, her Serena's friend comes to visit, and she offers to take their child, right? And Serena's like, "You're not taking my kid," and you're like, "What the hell? You took everyone else's kid."
They're so unaware of what they've done.
Right. And now.
And they don't care.
Right. But now that it could happen to her, she's like, this can't happen. Like, Fred, you have to do whatever you can in order to keep it from happening.
So selfish.
In like a really negative way.
It
right?
really is. You know, and I'll bring up another. Now we're just talking about this last episode, or at least the last two. This whole buildup of June going to trial and like saying her piece. I mean, it's like she finally gets to get up there and say, this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
Okay. And I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was really, I actually really loved that scene.
Yeah. It's a great scene. And what was the most interesting to me, obviously I'm getting to this point, is that, so Fred or what, so they're sitting there too. They have to watch this as well. So Serena and him are sitting there watching the speech. And, you know, I don't know what, obviously, she gives the speech and you don't know. Like, is she expecting any kind of response? I'm sure she's not. I mean, you know, you don't know. Is she looking over at them like,
when I think this,
do they feel bad or do they like have any are they hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody listening? And what ends up happening is that he is like, I forget how it starts, but basically he's just like, you know, we did it though. Like, we actually have more of like, we have the highest birth rate. You all blame us, but we are the ones winning. Basically, he's like, blame us as much as you want, but look at the world, and we are the only place that is producing children at the rate that we are. And how interesting, right? Like, it's a fucked up twist, too. And then to see that, like, people actually respond to that.
Well, right. So then he, like, touches Serena's stomach, and it's like, this is actually our child, right?
It's
so
crazy.
What we're doing, this return to this lifestyle, is the right movement. Join us. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And it's almost like, what will people take that as? And I almost feel like that could apply. I don't want to get into politics or anything, but like sometimes people are so focused on whatever it is they want or whatever that the thing is, that the means in which to get it doesn't matter. Mm. It's like, I don't care how, you know, like it's happening the way I want it to happen. Done. You know, I don't know what, I could bring up a lot of really bad examples that might get people mad at me, but I don't know, you see this stuff play out a lot, which is, and then there's debate about all these things, but I did find that part really interesting, because here she is saying, look at, and this is obviously very extreme and very over the top and horrific, like you can't rape people and kidnap people and take their children away and then say, look what we did,
right?
We did such a great job, like, obviously. But, I mean, I'm sure you could find examples in society even today of things that came about that had good results that were only the results were seen, where none of the other stuff was even seen. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the end, people don't want to look at that part. They're like, oh no, but look what happened though. This is what we got after it was over.
Well, right. And then the response by the public.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. The response by the public is there's all these people out there who are like Team Serena, Team Fred, and they have totally forgotten about or chosen to ignore or not believe. I mean, is that another commentary that we're
it's
not
so
believing,
yeah.
right? We don't believe the female when she says that she's been raped. We only believe the male who says, I didn't do it.
Totally. I'm just saying there's so much, and I know these people writing it have got to know they're tapping into like all of this stuff, you know, all these different things. We just talked about like six things in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. This show is just, there's just so much. It is
it's a really great show. I mean, the more that you talk about it, it's like, it's super deep on so many levels. It's dark though.
It's such a commentary. I think this season is probably the darkest season, right?
So
like
dark.
This fourth season is the darkest. I think the first season for me was the most horrifying.
Yeah, it's the most horrifying.
Right?
Yeah.
And the second and third season are kind of like June navigating and trying to figure out her life, right? And
mm-hmm.
and you understand the structures of other people, you know, and I don't know. A friend of mine and I were talking about this fourth season, and I'm like, I think Serena and June are going to end up switching spots. That's what I'm saying.
Do you really? It's already happening.
I do. I see June being held in custody. I see Serena being free. Like, my friend's I think June's going to end up in Gilead. Go back. I was like, God.
If she goes back there,
I'm tired of that story.
I know.
Line.
Nobody wants to see it anymore.
Listen, writers of Handmaid's Tale.
Please don't do that.
Please don't send her back to Gilead.
Please don't do that.
Please.
Well, they're setting up some new characters. I mean, you said something about Aunt Lydia, and I don't really know, what were you going to say about her story? Like, what is her story?
She, oh God, people help me out.
I don't really understand her story.
She was a teacher.
Okay.
She was a teacher.
Oh, okay. Now I have to, yes. Okay.
There was a kid who she thought was being abused or neglected or something. And then there was something with her and the principal. They were going to be in a relationship, or she thought it was a relationship. I can't remember all of it now. But it basically, the combination of those two things, I think she falsely accused the mom of being abusive because she wanted the son. She got really attached to the boy. And then that false accusation obviously soured her relationship with the principal.
Right.
And then her whole life just went wildly off track. And then she became Aunt Lydia.
It's so crazy.
Right.
Yeah, how did those aunts become those people?
What I think is so crazy is...
Is it because they were part of the movement to start?
Maybe, but all the research that the commanders had to do in order to find people, to put them in their places.
Right.
Like, that's what's so crazy to me. Like, they know all the people and who they've placed.
It's a lot of work making that happen.
Well, yeah. It's a lot of God complex, right?
It's a lot of, yes.
of tracking. Like, you're this person, you've done this in your life, so therefore you are this. You've done this in your life, so therefore you are this. That's kind of crazy.
And it's just assigning roles. And I mean, it also is like, what I find interesting about religion or about belief, I should say belief, not religion. Religion is not what I mean. Is that... I know.
We just
had the best visual.
The sweetest old woman just walked by.
She just slowly, and I saw her walking from like all the way over there.
Yeah.
And I was like, look at her go. That was kind of interesting. What was I saying? Oh, belief that like, you know, here's the thing. Like, if you're going to create a movement like this, whatever it is, right? You're going to be in a movement. You have to believe it so wholeheartedly. I mean, to take it this far, and I think that's another part of the story that I love with Serena too, is like, watching these people who had this very strong belief, this idea of like, this is what this needs to be. This is how it needs to be. And this is, we're doing God's work, whatever they think. They have to believe that wholeheartedly. You start swaying from your belief and you're in trouble. And actually, to me, that's also the piece with Serena that's been the most interesting, because I do think that like, they show her where she's at, but there's episodes where you see her struggling with what she really believes in. And even right now, you're watching her, even though she's at the core, she's pretty dark, evil. I mean, she's definitely not.
Right, she's manipulative.
She's manipulative, but she's also like not so sure of herself, is what I get. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's things that have happened throughout the seasons where you see that part of her, where it's like she's questioning her belief of like, what is this then? And also like her desires.
Yeah.
And what happens when your desires start clashing with your belief system?
Well, there's that really great scene with her mom when she goes to see her mom, when her and Fred have that huge falling out, and her mom's like, you got to get over this. Like, stop being dramatic. Get over it. Because without Fred, your husband, you are no one in this society. I mean,
man, I wish we had some people from like 50 years ago we could talk to.
Right? That's
crazy. I'm not kidding, though. No. I mean, that's how women, you know, that's what your role was. And you were literally that. That's the sum of you.
I you know, listening to you say that about her questioning, Serena questioning her like role and her belief system, it's almost like unintended consequences.
Yeah.
Right? Like she wrote that book. She wrote the book that starts the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's not even allowed to read.
It's crazy.
Right?
It's crazy.
And in the fourth season, Fred is like, you should write a book. And she's like, oh, now I'm allowed to? Now I can. And he was like, well, it's been, I, you know, I've made mistakes. But that's not an apology.
No. And to me, there's also that thread of like, she was allowed to, like, she was the one when the world was what it was, to be able to be a woman in a powerful position.
Mm-hmm.
But men are threatened by powerful women. And so the second the men had the opportunity and from permission from this whole scenario that she created, it was like, I don't think you should be doing that now. Like, it's right. Like, you know, it's like they're threatened by her power. Actually, Serena is quite more powerful than he is by far.
Mm-hmm.
She's smarter. She's more interesting. She's prettier.
Yeah.
And sorry, tangent. And like, she actually has a presence. I mean, she was the presence of this whole entire thing. They show the scenes of her like being in front of people. And I think he knows it and he's threatened by it.
Well, he can never make rank, right? Like, he's stuck at this low level of commander and he can never go hit the next level of ranking. Like, he just can't get there because he is weak. I mean, like, even
so weak,
he is so weak. Like, God, even in his relationships with June, like his interactions with her, right? Like, it's like this cat and mouse game, and he thinks he's in control of the whole thing. And June's like, "Oh no, no, dude, I got you by the balls."
I know, this guy.
It's.
Can I just mention, like, because I know we're getting into almost an hour, and I want to keep you forever.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I could do like 5 million episodes on this. I got to mention some, at least one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah,
maybe we'll just throw a couple favorite scenes from I don't know what episode it was, but. When she kills that guy with the pen.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
By the way, I love that guy because he's on SVU.
Oh, I was like, God, that guy looks I'm so like, familiar.
I love him. And I'm like, you just killed him. I'm like, what did you do? He's a good guy. But he's not.
Not in
he's
that
not
show,
a good
not
guy at
show.
All. He's a great actor. But that was one of those scenes in the show where you're just like, fuck yes, you killed that guy with a pen.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Amazing.
Right.
Yes.
So amazing. And then for the wife to be like, my children are fatherless. And all of those children, none of them are biological.
They're not even hers.
Right. They're not biological children of her and him. They and this is why I think it's like an unspoken secret, because she kills, June kills this dude at the Jezebel house, like
right.
at the whorehouse,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And no one's going to be like, oh, he was at the whorehouse. Like, he's just disappeared. Who knows what's happened to him, right? But the woman, how about the housekeeper, the Martha of the Jezebel place, is one of the five women that June saves.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so she's like, so that's crazy. So she like does the whole thing to cover it up for her so that way June doesn't get in trouble and all this kind of stuff, right?
June.
It's so crazy. Let me think. Some of my favorite
scenes. I guess I'm bringing up a good part because, well, you know, the show is pretty dark.
I mean, you're
it's
like
what's rewarding to watch this show? I mean, I guess just, I don't know, just watching people overcome circumstances and persevere. I also think the acting is incredible and like, it's just so like, It's like you hold your breath the whole time you're watching it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what's going to happen?
Just like the, I don't know, cinematography, I guess is what's called, or the photography, like just the mm-hmm. angles of shots. Like one of my favorite scenes is when one of the episodes they're walking, all the handmaids are walking down the spiral staircase to go to some ceremony or thing that they have to go to. And I wonder if it's the pool scene, but anyway, the shot is from above.
Oh, yes.
You just see like the circle of red and white going down. It's gorgeous. It's unbelievable. And there's so many of those aerial shots. Like there's another one of June standing in the rain, and it's beautiful. It's like all these moments of beauty in this terrible society.
Now, it's like a really well done show.
Yeah. Can we talk about the pool scene? This is not my favorite
scene. No, let's talk about it. It's a fucked up scene.
The pool scene is crazy.
And it's because those two like stick to their guns, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
what was the point?
I think they fall in love. The boy and girl in love.
Yeah. And they die for it. Right. It's like very Romeo and Juliet.
They put them on diving boards in the pool, and they have like, they're holding onto a rock and it's shackled to their ankle. And then they must get pushed. They fall off, pushed into the pool, and that's how they drown. And they make everyone watch.
It's horrifying.
It's all of these fear-based torture devices, right? Like you walk down and you see people on the wall. They've been hanged and they're on the wall. And
it's crazy.
It's always stepping up the fear, mm-hmm. right? And stepping up the control. It's not enough just to have these cattle prods prodding people. Now we need to do the next. Right, what the
Holy
hell?
Like,
right, like, come on. Right? Like it's this
Please
next level.
Please, people out there, don't get any ideas.
Right. It's this next level of fear only lasts for so long. So we have to make the next thing even more fearful. And then the next thing even more fearful because people like June and
she's an outlier.
And, you know, they just can't take it anymore. You get to a point where you're like, I don't care.
Yeah, kill me. Fine.
Don't care.
Yeah. I'll mention one weird part for me just because it popped in real quick. I know we should probably cut this short. So this current season. How about when she comes home to him, June's back,
mm-hmm.
and she basically like rapes him.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of that?
I thought there was a really great job of foreshadowing, right? Because a couple episodes before, Moira and all of them are in the circle and are like, don't even talk about sex. It's like totally fucked up. Like you were totally fucked up from sex.
Okay,
because
of
right?
what happened to them.
Right,
yeah.
because of what
yeah.
happened to them. And then I almost wonder if it's like her way of regaining power.
Yeah. What I do love about the show, and I'll say this about a scene like this, is that there isn't like a lot of dialogue much of the time. I feel like the show is like there used to be more voiceover in the beginning. And then as it evolved, like there were scenes where it just be so quiet for so long
mm-hmm.
or there's a lot of like intense looks and like slow.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I used to have a joke when I was watching it where I'd be like, say it. You know, it's like the camera is just like slowly panning.
Yeah.
And the music's like, and then I'm like, what? Just, you know, you're waiting. You're waiting. Like, what the fuck is she going to say? Can someone please say the sentence? And so there's this like very drawn out stuff that goes on, which I think is just the build of the show. It's like the theme. It's the style. But what I also think is interesting, and I'd love to be in the room with like the director and mm-hmm. be with these actors, is like, you know, she's acting these scenes out based on what is either in the script or what they're telling her
mm-hmm.
about where she's at in these moments. And a scene like that, I wonder, like, what was the preparation for that? Or, like, what was the thought in your head that you knew why you were doing it this way?
Mm.
Like, if you're the actor in that moment, you've got to have something. Like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm about to do this scene. What is going through me mentally for me to do this scene right now, to like jump on this guy and like basically choke him, cover his face and fuck him. Sorry, I'm just going to say it in such a severe, really kind of upsetting way. It was very aggressive and he let her do it. I mean, I don't know. Can you rape a guy? Can we?
Yes, I would say yes.
I guess like, you can. I guess you can. I mean, there's that theory that like, oh, you can, men are stronger than women, whatever. But I don't know. I was wondering that whole scene, like, I wonder what she's using.
Well, I think too, like, I think it started off with like Luke trying to be like soft with her and she couldn't do it. So she like shot him down. And then it was like this whole thing, like, I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm just going to have sex with him. Like, I'm just going to do it. You know, like,
it's like she had to just like get out.
Right. Like, I have to show him that I love him. Right. But then it's like, I can't. So this is the only way that I
right.
can participate.
Or is she going to take out all of it on him in that moment?
Right.
Like, all of the shit that's been done to her, she's just going to, like...
Right. And is she angry that he's been free, quote unquote, for this time? Right. I mean, he has been free. There's no quote unquote. Like, he's been free this whole time. Right. And she's been suffering. And, you know, he goes through that whole thing that I've tried so hard. And she's... Talk about being in trauma and being, like, so... centered on yourself. Like, she's like so amazed when he brings out all of the folders of research that he's done
to try to find
Hannah. And she's like, oh, you've done this? He was like, yeah, like every day I've been doing this. And
it's like a connecting point for them.
God, how about he wants her to trade Nicole for Hannah? Can we talk about that for I know we have to go.
No, I don't have to go. I feel like it's me.
Right. I'm so good.
Sorry. No, go ahead. I'm good.
So Nicole is June's daughter, right? Biological daughter.
Yes.
And she actually has a daughter with the driver, yes. right? Because Fred can't perform again because he's weak, whatever.
That's like the only joy she gets to have the entire time.
I know. Really? So anyway, so Luke is like, well, here, this guy can probably help us find where Hannah is. So why don't you go and meet him?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you want me to go meet my former lover? And he was like, well, of course not, but I want to find Hannah. He's like, you should go and you should bring Nicole, like your daughter that you guys have together.
And he's just a fucking cool dude.
I think so, but I also think it's like a little manipulative on his part too. Like, he... wants to at least like pull on Nick's heartstrings by seeing the baby.
Look how clueless I am. I'm just like, what a nice guy.
To see the baby. But also like, can we make a trade? Here's your child. Can I get my child back?
Yes.
I don't know. It's crazy.
That's funny. I didn't think about it as being a bit of a move, but you're right.
I mean, it could be.
I think it's more of what you're saying.
That'd be pretty, like, I don't know what the word is, selfless to be like, yeah, go see your former lover, you know?
Yeah, and she doesn't seem to have any problem with him.
No, she's like...
getting busy.
Almost like in love with... I was like, is she going to choose him over Luke? How about he's married? How about Nick is married, which means that he has a handmaid?
It's all crazy.
I
know.
I think this is my prediction.
Please, let's go. Moving forward.
Either.
I should write it down.
Or.
Should bet.
Janine or Esther, the farmer's wife.
Yeah, what about that kid?
God, I love her. She is.
Oh, my God.
She's like a mini June. She is like, fuck the world.
She is like something, that one.
I think one of the two of them.
She kills that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She poisons him.
It's a lot of stabbing.
What? Yes, she does stab that one dude. You're
yes.
right.
Yes. She's like, here you go.
Do it. June's like, here, go for it.
She's scary. June has turned into like a real fucking scary person.
Right. Like, she really is. I mean, like,
she's violent as shit, man.
Well, yeah, because that's her life, right?
It's crazy.
That's her life. But I think either Janine or Esther are going to end up in Nick's house.
Okay.
As a
handmaid. Oh.
Because Nick, the driver, is married. Because when June leaves, he puts
that
his wedding ring back
on. That's a good, yes.
And
I like that.
There's a reason why they kept Janine alive in the Chicago raid. And there's a reason why they've brought Esther back into as a handmaid's. Like, there's
a
reason.
I had some weird thought that Janine might end up being an aunt.
Oh.
In some weird twisted way.
Hmm.
Which would be like a real interesting story with Aunt Lydia. Because
just
the way that she kind of... To me, there was some leading with that. The way that she helped get her to submit.
Yeah.
In this very, like, you know, in a very genuine way.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, she's kind of, like, become, like, you have to follow the rules, you know? Like, she's very subservient. And I don't know. It was weird. I'm like, could she end up here? Could she end up as a fucking aunt?
She's just trying to survive.
Yeah, because she's really...
Just trying to survive.
I could see her going there. Like, and then somehow that could help. In the end, like, the whole thing.
Yeah. Maybe she's like the resistance from within.
She could become the resistance from within without even realizing it. Her story is pretty interesting too. They finally give you a little bit of her story.
Her story is
crazy. Yeah.
So if you haven't watched the show, you don't need to, because we've actually run through all four seasons. These are the highlights. So you're good. Just go ahead and watch on Wednesday.
All right. If you're gonna
be all caught up.
Yes. Let's do a couple more real quick predictions. I'll just run 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, so you predict Serena will end up what? Is she going to have this baby?
Yeah, Serena's going to have the baby. She's going to be free. Serena's going to walk out
scotch-free. You think she's going to get to have freedom?
Yes, I do. I think she's...
Is she going to stay with him and become like the new movement? Or do you think she's going to break off?
I think something's going to happen, and Fred, you know, he's leveraging his experience with Gilead, right? Because now this is why June freaks out at the end, right? In the last season, because now Fred and Serena are basically free. Like, they're still in custody, but he's giving all of this testimony and talking about
that's why she's like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Right. To the American.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, they're basically off the hook. Just so crazy. Then they can restart this whole movement again. Right. But do it differently. But do it better this time. We'll do it differently this time.
Yeah.
So I think, yes. And I think June is just, she's losing her shit.
She's definitely losing her shit.
Which, no blame, right?
No.
I
don't know
fact.
How she can even speak a sentence considering what she has fucking endured.
Well, right.
I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
So much of it. And I see this, and there are real people. I'm going to say, and I don't know, I'm not good at this part, everyone, because I'm really just a child in disguise. I don't know if I'm an actual adult. But, like, people have suffered. There are people in this world, in the country and...
In general.
People of war, people that have been imprisoned, people that have been kidnapped, people that have endured all sorts of horrific experiences and have come out of the other side of it somehow to, like, be okay on some level. But, I mean, I think that's why some of these scenes in this show really tap into those moments, I think, for people that are recognizing that piece, you know?
Yeah, like, is this the journey to getting better, right? Like,
yeah,
is it going to work out for her? Like, yeah, is she going to be able to recover?
Can you actually recover from something like that?
Right. On your own.
Like, can you?
Yeah. Like, who is she going to fight? Maybe part of the reason why she stayed in Gilead, even though she had all those multiple opportunities to leave, is because who would she fight now that she's out?
I'll ask one more thing. I'm sorry. I can't stop. Do you think, because, you know, we're talking about, like, the power of people, the power of support. Obviously, these other women are doing support group and they're trying to, like, recover. June's theme is that she just, even though she does gather people and she does make things happen, she really operates alone, I find. She's very stubborn. Like, she's not, like, leaning on anyone. She's kind of telling everybody what to do all the time. I don't know. That's maybe my one perception of her, but she does seem very strong-willed and doesn't want to, it's hard to sway her. Like, that whole scene when she's on the boat and her friend is like,
oh, her friend is the best.
Oh my God. Right.
Her friend
chick is so cool.
Is the best.
And she's like, I just fucking got you. Like, I got you out. Like, you can't do this. Like, someone is saying, I care about you. I love you. Please let me help you. And she's so stubborn, man. Like, you didn't know if she was going to go along in that moment, right? When the guy's questioning her.
And
like,
her friend saves her.
Fuck it up, man.
And her friend saves her.
Right. Exactly. So she's little, like,
talk about that codependent relationship right there.
Oh my God. There's so much of the themes of that in this.
So much.
So much. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I guess that's it.
Do you have any guys, if you need to talk about it more, you can call me.
Right.
I'm around. We can have a discussion.
Please just write in and we can have a part 2, 3,
let's have
10.
It's a shame we didn't have like a meetup to watch this every week. Like,
would
that be cool?
Yeah, that
like,
would be cool.
Just like go to the movies and see it or something. Somebody do that. They probably could.
I mean, I don't think the movies are that busy. I wonder if they could just...
Wouldn't that be awesome?
What if I just brought, like, my Chrome stick and they just...
Yeah, every week we'd be like, meet us at movies at Midway.
Right.
Let's do this. Well, anyway, I'm going to thank you so much.
Thank you.
You inspired me to do this because you were into it. And man, The Leftovers. I might have to rewatch that
show. I'm going to have to rewatch it too.
Right? It still confused the shit out of me.
I think I did not like the end. The last season was not... I think I kind of dropped off.
But Nora...
What about Nora?
Oh, my God, that actress.
Yeah, but she goes crazy, too.
God, she's an awesome actress.
Yeah, she is. I think I lost track. I don't remember.
It went so in many directions.
I don't remember loving the last season. I don't know if I ever...
I didn't really understand what happened. Guys, another one. If you figure out what happened on that show...
Call in.
Come to my house. Bring me a pizza. All right, listen, go bake your bread, put on your outfit.
Get your color scheme for today.
Just do your chores and don't speak up because you don't know.
Right. Don't rape anybody today.
Do us a favor. You don't own me. Just, you know, keep
don't
it together.
Don't participate.
Keep your head down.
Put unhappy
your little,
threesome.
Put on your visor. What is it? Put on your blinders.
Yes.
May the Lord be with you. Or may the Lord
open.
Open. I just did actual church.
Yes.
May the Lord be with you. It's
or
pretty
open.
Close. Yeah.
It is.
May the Lord open. So gross.
Maybe it has to do with birthing.
Yeah, may the Lord open. What was the response? Blessed be the fruit.
Yes. It's all about the
everyone,
babies.
Blessed be the fruit. That's it. I got nothing.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
All right, guys. I don't know what I'm doing next time, but join us, and I'll see you next time. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.